So welcome everyone to our Christ blessing to wrap up 2013 and to set our feet on lighted grounds for the beginning of 2014. We thank all of you for being here as part of our community, because each one of you participating makes the unit stronger. It creates a lifted envelope that shares your light and your love with others to create the best possible opportunity for the conveyance of blessings to everyone and far outside our community, to the whole world. We are not limited in who our blessings are focused upon, nor was Christ. And we offer them for all the expanded and collateral benefits that can come from offering a blessing. And I feel so fortunate to be near one of the great bodies of water on our precious earth, so that the consciousness of our blessing can enter the water. I'm a firm believer in the conveyance of consciousness through water, and that the imprints we put in the water can affect everyone who receives the moisture from it, the energy from it, or eventually consumes it as drinking water or water for the lawn or water for crops, or to have recreation on it, to swim in it, to boat in it. Water is the biggest single element on our planet. It's the largest single element in our body, as a matter of fact. And I have very strong reasons to believe that we leave imprints of our thought and our thought forms and our intentions in our personal body of water that we breathe out into the space around us, and that we breathe in from the space around us. So I feel very, very joyous about being here, and I'm looking forward to announcing the exact days of our next blessing seminar, which will be on the Gulf Coast, so that together we can project a very powerful, loving energy from Christ into the waters, the great waters of the earth. And as it stands right now, we're waiting for confirmation Monday, but it looks like it's going to be on the 22nd and 23rd of March, which, it is 22nd and 23rd of March, which allows us to be here at that time of balance, right at the spring equinox. Maybe one day after. I haven't looked on the calendar to see the exact moment of the equinox. Sometimes it's actually on the 22nd. So it may be this year as well. And I'll check that out before I make my announcement. But just wanted to let you be thinking about that and planning for it. And I hope that you will join us. The hotel is beautiful. The view is gorgeous. And those of you who are in northern countries will just have a wonderful tropical vacation that will bathe you in love and light, with palm trees swaying and beautiful. Actually, the water here is azure blue. It's just gorgeous. And the balustrades along the beach are white marble. It's just quite spectacular. And but what's inside of us, what spiritually unites us, is even beyond words to express. So we should have most people actually on the call by now, and I'd love to do a call. I'd like to make a call for participation, because I'd like to know some of the highlights of your year for you and resolutions you've made, because we can hold these, go ahead and sign on. I'm going to talk for a couple of minutes, but I'd like for you to go ahead and sign on if you really want to talk, and I would love to hear from you. And you do make a difference in our community by expressing your thoughts and your achievements in the blessing. This is a time for forgiving, for releasing, for blessing, acknowledging, letting go. And it's also a time for holding new thoughts. I wouldn't say, you know, I think I let go of the idea of resolution a number of years ago when I discovered that I don't keep any of them. And so I stopped making resolutions, but I didn't stop making what I call love projections. And that is, I look at my new year and I see what I would most want to have, attain, experience, share, achieve, give, offer, what I would like my next year to look like. Now, I found that to be a far more powerful way of approaching the new year, because it's positive. It's a positive projection with affirmation and intention and creative expectations that we want to do. Unfortunately, you see, most of our resolutions are 50-50, positive and negative. We're going to say something in a resolution like, okay, I am not going to gain 5 more pounds this year. I'm going to go on a diet. In other words, a lot of our resolutions are restrictive. I'm going to clean out my closets this year. I'm going to be more charitable this year. That sort of thing. The kind of things that represent corrections to our behavior. Well, I have found that the best way to correct behavior is simply to create better projections for life, better opportunities for life, better goals for life. If we fill our time, our hearts, and our calendars, and our life, and our energy with all the positive things we hope for and expect, there's just no room for the rest. And so to take on the positive is really what I do. I like to project what I will be doing. I have in mind this year to create several new books. And one of them will be a life summary of what I have done as an artist. But another very important one will be with Yeshua, and he and I are already working on that one. There may be as many as 3 or 4 in that series. And then I may begin a spiritual fiction, which is just a creative writing exercise that I have no idea. I know I do have an idea what it will be about. It allows me to discuss creative ideas that are not necessarily yet proven, but they're hopeful. And so that medium would allow a little bit more creative expansion and allow me to do in literature much of what I do in painting, which is to explore the probable and the optimal and the best of all worlds without necessarily having proof that it has or will happen, but it gives us a ray of hope. So I want to do all of this year. This is my goal. And to have 3 blessing conferences so that we can get our numbers up to 500 blessing givers around the world, because Yeshua has promised a transformation of this work when we reach 500. So that is a huge goal for me. Now, I have a feeling that if I keep myself busy with all these things, that the flow of love and optimism and creativity and light will be so great that whatever challenges I have will sit beneath my feet. And it usually works for me that way. So I invite you to have that protocol for this year. And also, I want to talk about the subject of forgiveness. But before I do, I'd like to take a couple of calls that we have and just focus upon what we want to see for this year. And then we can focus on how we let go of the things we are complete with. So it's really a two-part day to preface our blessing. And we have a caller from area code 321, and you're on.
Hey there. Hey, you said also about what were the positive things that happened during this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
One real high point for me, I got to, they've been letting me do the accompaniment for the music on the group I attend on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And that's just a wonderful thing.
And, that's great.
I had a lot of interest in music growing up, but it was that, I guess what you'd call metal and like that. And once I started to listen to what the words were about, I became completely disheartened, so I kind of lost that spark altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And but now it's music that's imbued specifically for communing with spirit, with God, with meaning, with love. And now that spark has been relit, and it's a really wonderful development.
Oh, congratulations. Yes,
yeah.
It is wonderful.
So that's my big positive that happened that I'll carry forth to this year.
Oh, that's big. That really is. What instrument do you play?
I played guitar for 30 years, but the instrument that they do for accompaniment, it's a little keyboard instrument called a harmonium.
Uh-huh.
So I've been doing that about 3 months, and they say, wow, it sounds good. I guess if you exercise, those particular actions, they're available for transmutation in some way. But it's a new instrument, but it's going pretty well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I hope you have I pray for more than hope that you will have a wonderful year of continuing that spark of creativity and inspiration. And we have Margaret on the telephone. Hi, Margaret.
Hello, Glenda. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, I hesitated to put my idea out there, but I got a clear signal that I want to ask people to hold this. As you know, I've been teaching a lot of leadership work in Africa over the last 8 years, and it's now ready to be put together, have a framework of a leadership development program. And so I'm going to go into 6 months of intensive writing. It will be multimedia. And I've also identified people in Africa that can teach it. And the reason why this is important is you know that so much of the concepts are embedded in what Love Without End and the Keys of Yeshua. I often talk about the fact that my work is putting spiritual teaching in business clothes. And
mm-hmm.
So I just wish for you to hold that space. I don't know if I will make it to the March meeting because I have to kind of go deeply within during this intense writing, and I'm scaling everything else down and moving into a much smaller space so I can stay focused. So if you and the community could hold that for me, that would really be greatly appreciated.
Oh, we certainly will, Marguerite. And I think that's wonderful, wonderful work you're doing that will have so much value to so many people. And I still hope you can be at least one of the Blessing Conferences this year.
Well, I definitely will. I don't know. I'm going to put March on my calendar, and it all kind of depends. I certainly will make one of the conferences whenever they are. I'll have to be in Africa a fair amount this year, but if I'm supposed to be there, I'll find a way.
Oh, I know you will. And God bless you, Marguerite, for all that you do.
Thank you, Glenda. You're an inspiration. And if you can do it, we can do it.
Absolutely. You got it. And Desmond is on the line. Hi, Desmond.
Hi, Glenda. I was listening to Michael Beckwith's live Agape International kind of thing on the internet before I came on the call. And he, you know how Nate put up that thing that we went on an adventure in paradise and I'm taking you with me and all that beautiful music that we played at the Blessing Seminar. He actually made a new video for it And he just released it today, and he showed his whole congregation and everybody on the internet, too, so it was really good.
Great.
And yeah, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I'm looking at your seminars, Glenda, and stuff were amazing. I always pray for you, and I hope that they're amazing. I did have a question. You're talking about, like, corrective behavior is projecting, you know, positive goals and stuff, and then you're going to talk about forgiveness after.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of ask, like, what are we kind of working on, and then what have we completed and stuff. Right now, I normally go to the Catholic Church, and my hairline, it goes very high up, and it connects to God, and I feel very attuned, and it goes right into my heart. I think that's a really good way to get into the Sacred Heart, is just by connecting to God. But I went to a church last night, which is great, the Alliance Church, and it was really good for the most part. And then I went to Global Connections Church, and they play some kind of rougher music a little bit. And, there's a lot of social kind of things going on. It's alright though, I found it alright. And then I went to another church, the Spruce Grove Community Church, and after that one, and then there was a lot of social things going on, and I had a hard time focusing on God, and I felt more like the whole message was focused around being able to serve even though you're not enjoying it.
Yeah.
And then I was like so happy to see Michael Beckwith and all them. It made me feel real happy. And then I was like, oh, what a relief. Glenda, you know, wow.
Well, Desmond, this is... All these things are relevant to many different levels of need people have in their spiritual life. Some people are not as comfortable with God as other people are, which I think could be improved upon, but it is the way the world is, and at least they're joining together in the right place, and they're joining to love one another for many of the right reasons, and we have to just let God do the rest of the work to lift them up. And so there's a flavor of cake for everybody. And most of the people in our community really do want to know and love God. And I think that's a wonderful transition into what I want to talk about with the whole subject of forgiveness. The first thing, that there are several steps to forgiveness and several levels of understanding on the subject. I think the first level of forgiveness is really just to refrain from judgment, to release the arrogant ego that we can come at some situations with, thinking that we know best and that a person must be a certain way in order to be right with God, right with their fellow man, and right with themselves. And what they do is just not acceptable. Well, that's judgment, even if they've done nothing to hurt you, even if they've done nothing to hurt another person, sometimes they can be the object of judgment. And I think that's the first level of the heart's generosity to tolerate until someone has hurt someone, until they've hurt you or hurt themselves. Let's let them have their pathway of discovery. And if what they're doing is not optimum, not right, not the greatest thing in the world to do, then we can pray that God or their spiritual guidance will lead them on a better path, but we can do that without judgment. And that is a form of forgiveness that we all, anyone in this course is up to doing right now. Anyone in our community, anyone who's read Love Without End is ready for. And I would really ask that you intend a year with less judgment, with more acceptance, more tolerance, of those things that are not hurting anyone or not hurting you. And be mindful of the fact that sometimes when somebody is doing something that you don't approve of, the real hurt might be something inside you that's being triggered. And instead of you taking responsibility for what's inside of you, you're trying to blame that person. You see, I think the whole idea of forgiveness is charity. I think that's the foundation on which all forgiveness rests. It's spiritual, mental, emotional, and psychological charity. Allowing other people to have their life and realizing that we cannot live it for them. Now, this doesn't mean that we should not have values or ethics. Of course we should. But we need to learn where those values and where morality and ethics appropriately apply. And that comes to the next thing that I want to discuss about forgiveness. And before we can do that, we really need to look at our love of God. Because we, without a love of God, we really, really, truly cannot forgive our fellow man or other things that hurt us. Until we really understand that everything, somehow, it may not be part of God's plan, but it's part of God's ability to redeem. There is a divine orchestration of this universe and of this earth that has the ability to redeem and make right anything that's done, can use for benefit anything that happens. Now, I'll give you an example that just comes from the history of this world. Millions and millions of years ago, tens of millions of years ago, and up to a few thousand years ago, volcanoes were very, very active on this earth. And let's say maybe tens of millions of years ago, they created blankets and blankets of soot that were at the atmospheric ceiling that closed off the planet to much life activity. The only life that could really survive here were the tiny small things or the larger reptiles. And that was because of the volcanic activity. And, you know, we complain about the greenhouse effect and the global warming. Well, look at how God handled all that volcanic activity. What we've done on this planet, and I'm not absolving us from responsibility for correcting our actions, but the fact is, it's nothing compared to the volcanic contamination. Now, you want to know how God handled that. Well, God brought the soot down to the earth with rains. He brought it down, cleared the atmosphere, and the rains enriched the soil to create nitrogen. And nitrogen was the main source of creating the greenery that then became, later became our fuel and was buried in our earth. And to this day, we use nitrogen for all of our crops, for all of our growing. Now, that's kind of, I've really telescoped the facts on that. I've abbreviated them. There's a lot more to the factual story, but then it would take us an hour to get through it. So I've kind of telescoped that, but that's the general idea of how God can redeem anything. Whatever we judge, God can redeem. And it doesn't mean that the volcanic ash was good for all life at the time that it happened, but God redeemed it into the very thing that brought new life about. And so I'm not saying that everything on this earth, especially wars, conflict, hunger, hatred, and disease, that all of these things are good. They're not. They're terribly painful to those who suffer from them. And yet all of these can and will spark, human genius to solve problems of starvation, problems of disease. I was looking at a documentary of Fleming, the great biophysician who discovered the polio vaccine. But he also discovered many other vaccines, and it all came out of World War II. He was horrified at the fact that most of the injuries to the men were not termed fatal because of the bullet or the bomb, but because of the infection that needed to be controlled. A whole new era of medicine came from his brilliant work. And so I think that second after releasing judgment comes love of God with all your heart. And that was actually the first commandment of Yeshua, to love God with all your heart. And the third and final thing about forgiveness is this, and that is, it actually benefits us more than that which we forgive. Because let's face it, no matter what someone or something has done to us, let's say we were walking along the street and we were mugged and our purse was stolen. Our credit cards were used. We lost some money. We lost faith. We became disheartened with humanity. And we became kind of dark about the human soul. Well, you know, that's the greatest damage that came to us, is what we did to ourselves because of that purse being stolen. And then I know I can tell you this because I've counseled many people about forgiveness. And they'll say to me, but Glenda, you know, if I forgive this person, then I'm condoning that action. And what I have to say always is, it's not your right to condone or condemn. That is a right reserved for God only. You have no idea what motivated that man to do that. Maybe he had a child that needed to get in the hospital immediately and he was desperate. You don't know. You have no idea also what other collateral damage was done because he did that to you. And you can't forgive those things. Only, you see, I think we hold back forgiveness for three reasons. One is because we've judged. The other is because we don't love God enough to say, it's in your hands, God. I'm sorry, you know, I'm not going to make myself arrogant enough to either condone or condemn. And then thirdly, we do not have enough compassion to just release this other person to deal with their life. Because let's face it, anybody who would steal another person's purse is in a great deal of trouble already in their life. And we have no idea what that trouble is. But the fact is, when you don't forgive, you pull that trouble into you. When you do forgive, you say, God, it's in your hands. I suffered enough by having my purse stolen. Do you mind that I just let go of this? And God will say to you, yes, dear, that's the right thing to do. Now, most of us are not dealing with any kind of traumatic situation like someone beating us or robbing from us or breaking in our home. But we all have little wounds, things that didn't work out, things that were done to us, someone who let us down or disappointed us, a project that didn't work. We've all got something. And the fact is, we don't know ever what was on the other side of why that didn't work, why it had to happen, why it let us down. And if we keep hanging on to it, we are actually holding on to more than the hurt itself. If we release it, we release it unto God and say, God, I don't know why this couldn't work, but I let you handle it because I don't know how to clear all of this out of my life. It's an exercise in true humility to say that. It's an exercise in deep understanding and compassion, and it's an exercise in love of God. And altogether, it allows us to return back to where we can follow the second commandment of Yeshua, which is to love our fellow man as ourself. So, I just wanted to, let's don't practice forgiveness as something that hurts us further, like, oh well, on top of all this pain, now I have to forgive somebody who will probably go and do that again. Don't take it that way. That's not forgiveness, my friends. It's simply not forgiveness. And let's understand the charity that goes with forgiveness. Remember that one syllable of that word is give. And forgiving means it's an act for purposes of giving. It's charity. It's charity to God, saying unto God, you know better than I do how to solve this. It's charity to yourself to release yourself from further contamination. It's charity to the other person. And so if we create the best for next year, if we acknowledge the best of last year, and we truly forgive in the real meaning of forgive, we are destined to have a wonderful, fabulous, better than ever 2014. And with that thought in mind, I would like to begin the blessing, and I'd like to call any blessing givers who would like to join me onto this call, so that we may be in unison offering this gift to the world, regardless of what we approve of or disapprove of. It isn't really for us to say in this moment. Yes, we do have to say sometimes because it helps us formulate our goals about what we want to support, about what we don't want to support. But even that, let's do with less judgment. But for now, let's be in a state of true, true charity, giving our heart to God, allowing God to give unto our heart, and giving forth the spirit of life to our earth and our fellow man. So please have your bare feet on the floor, your head toward heaven, your attention in your heart, and begin your prayer. And know that God will take it from here through the power of Christ, the guidance of Christ, the energy and love of the Holy Spirit, and the almighty love of God. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being with us. And thank you for walking through us in all of our triumphs and trials of this last year. We thank you for bringing us safely to this point in our life and for walking with us toward a new, even brighter future. We ask that you be with those who are alone, who don't have the benefit of this faith, to those who are ill, who need comfort, to the children, to the elderly, and those who ask for your deepest guidance as they walk in this earthly plane. Amen. The energetic conveyance is complete. Now go and nurture yourself by resting for at least 7 minutes. Don't think, just receive and be a blank slate on which God can write the love and the blessings that are being offered to you for this year. Bye-bye for now, and I hope you have a wonderful new year. Much love from me, too. Bye-bye.